Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 133. Hey, here's some behind-the-scenes news for you. Last week, I did not post a Hostful episode. We did our Ben Folds podcast, which went up, and then I went to New York Comic Con and proceeded to work 15-hour days. And because I still haven't worked up the gumption to hand over the reins to putting together and posting the podcast to anyone else yet, I just didn't have the time to do it. So I'm posting last week's Hostful today. So you hear a lot of upcoming talk about New York Comic Con. Clearly we've already been there. So I apologize for that. But Hostful today, and then I will post our next podcast this week, probably Thursday or Friday, which will be John Hodgman. So there you go. And then the week after that, we'll be back on our regular schedule. So I apologize. But turning to more positive endeavors, I would like to say that Matt Jonah and I will be performing in Portland this coming Saturday, which will be the 22nd of October at the Aladdin Theater. So please, please, please come out and see us if you can. You can get tickets at Nerdist.com. We'll have fun. We're all going to do stand-up. Then we'll do a little roundtable panel. We've got hugs, shirts, more hugs. So come say hi to us if you live in the Portland area. I'd like to thank our returning sponsor, Nerdist Podcast, Carbonite Online Backup. Most computers are going to eat themselves at some point. That's just the way technology works now. And so it's not if it will happen, it's a matter of when. And disaster sucks. You don't want to lose all your files. So get Carbonite to back up everything. They're automatically backed up online. Whenever you're connected to the internet, you have access to them. And then when disaster strikes, you get your files back right away. Unlimited backup is $59 a year. That's less than $5 a month. So start your free 15-day trial today at Carbonite.com with the offer code Nerdist and get 2 free months if you decide to buy. Thanks so much to Carbonite for their continuing support of the Nerdist Podcast. And now, episode number 133, a Hostful Goodness episode of goodness. Episode.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Where, oh, where is Jonah Ray?
Ringtone.
Today. Where is Jonah gone and left me someday?
Why is,
He's never gonna love me no more. In the summer, and he's ever sore.
Why is Soundgarden Pearl Jam doing this song?
You know, to
Soundgarden Jam, we'll call them?
Yeah, you know, to be fair, I think I was unfortunately doing a little more Creed.
Oh,
than
okay.
I was.
No, they ripped that off pretty Sound, well.
Soundgarden and
Creed ripped off everybody.
Yeah.
Because
you know what Soundgarden was missing? Jesus. That's what Soundgarden
there
was missing.
Who believe that that is the case. This girl I really liked in high school, she loved fucking Creed and Scott Stapp.
She did?
That made it easier for her not to love me back.
Hmm. Should have been a huge red flag.
Right? No.
You actually could have put her out in front of a Swiss hospital because she is such a red flag.
Yeah, my brother enjoys Creed. He also enjoys Jesus, so it all makes sense.
It all makes sense. But we're not going to say anything negative about your family.
Nope, there aren't.
Everything they do is awesome.
Love everybody there at the family house.
I don't know where Jonah is, but that's okay. I was late the other day. Sometimes
yeah.
you guys have jobs now. You have big boy jobs.
We do have two big boy jobs.
That you got to fucking, you know.
I saw the Soup coming out of a meeting not long ago. So maybe he's finishing up something and then.
Okay. Well, I guess close the door to the studio so we don't get the bleed through from, we don't get that bleed through. Ah, here we go.
So.
Yes.
I'm holding. Well,
what?
Not really. I'm not holding anything. I'm holding now a physical copy of your book.
I know. I feel like an idiot being my book.
We
but
should
I
buy them.
No. Well, I mean, yes, you can do that too.
Yeah,
but I wanted to give you a copy because. You know, I mean, you're certainly mentioned in the book, and you're thanked in the book, and I feel like
awesome.
It's pretty fun.
It's actually really cool looking.
I was very impressed. I didn't know how it was going to turn. You know, I was against putting me on the cover. I had my designer Chris Glass come up with these really cool 70s looking like textbook covers, and they were like, "No, you should really be on it." And I'm like, "I'm going to look like a douchebag."
You don't look douchey.
I hope not. I don't know.
I like the cut of your denim, sir. That is a nice looking denim.
That sounds like a thing. I like the cut of your denim. I like the cut of that man's denim. I like the leather in his saddle. I'm a fan.
That's a quality denim right there.
Yeah, you get thanked in there, and so does Vajona. By the way, someone started a site called Vajona.com, which is devoted to coming up with a nickname for Jonah
fantastic.
Ray.
Fantastic. I can't wait for him to love each nickname in a different way.
There are a few things. You know, it's fun. What's interesting about it, because you know, you write a book, and that happens months ago.
Yeah.
It happens months before it comes out, and so there are some, like, I'm in the very last page of the book, I talk about just software that I happened to be using while I was
writing the book.
I mean, you know, like Scrivener was the program that I actually used to compile and write the book, which I totally recommend if you're writing a book.
Is that like Scrivener? It's just like it's final draft, but for books.
Well, it doesn't have a final draft UI. It's sort of, you know, it's got that, which is now like a generic sort of standard iTunes looking interface.
Yeah.
Where, you know, different chapters are like playlists, basically.
Oh, cool.
And you can pull in stuff and articles and it helps you compile everything. And so when I wrote the book, I had the outline, and so I had like chapter titles listed, and I would kind of just jump around to whichever ones I wanted to cover and then swap and combine. And so it just gives you it's a good place to start. It gives you a basic structure.
Let me just state for the record that I am impressed with the amount of words in here.
Because
I thought there would be more sort of more illustrations. I mean, there are certainly funny illustrations and stuff like that, particularly introduction page 15 is very funny to me.
No, I wrote, I think I wrote about 65 or 8,000 words.
Jeez.
And that probably got edited down to, I don't know, 62 or 3 maybe.
That is insane.
1,000 words. It's not that bad. I mean, like, it sounds like a lot.
No,
but
it does.
But
68,000 of anything sounds like a lot. If you want to give me $68,000, I'm
down. Sounds like a lot.
It's a lot.
It was a fun process. But, like, in here, you know, I mentioned, you know, I just go to, like, okay, I use Dropbox, Evernote, plain text, Epic Win, Gmail, CyberDuck. And then I said Firefox. I have since switched to Chrome, which...
Let me ask you this.
Why
do you not use Safari?
You know, Safari's very fast.
We're going to get so many fucking comments on this whole talk we're having right now.
No, that's fine. I think that's great. Safari's very fast. I think I'm just automatically inclined to not use the browser that comes with the computer. And maybe that's just going back to old, like, IE days. Even though, you know, IE was fine at the time. But
well, remember when it was Macworld 97 when they announced that the Internet Explorer would be the browser of choice on Macs? And
right.
And then they had Bill Gates on via satellite, but everybody in Boston booed. Because that's what we do.
That's what we do. We pick a side. And so, you know, for me, I was using Firefox for so many years just because it was so customizable, and there were so many great add-ons for Firefox. Yeah. And, you know, my friends over at Lifehacker, like Gina Trapani, would make these really cool little add-ons, you know, like better Gmail and stuff like that.
Yeah, I missed that.
And the dictionary tooltip and just a lot of really fun stuff like that. And I liked all the integration.
I just like the simplicity of Safari and the integration that it has with everything else in the OS.
Yeah, and it's very nice, but I also I love using Chrome because I work on so many different machines. Yeah. Like, I have a laptop, a home computer, I have a work computer, and Chrome basically just syncs all of your bookmarks and everything in the cloud. And
well,
so,
you know, your Mac does that too. I'm just saying, Safari, you can, whatever. I mean,
I know, but
cool.
if I sign into Chrome from any computer into my Gmail account, then I will have all my bookmarks.
Steve died for you, but that's okay. Well, that's fine, Chris.
Why not?
Use Chrome.
Steve died for you. Have we turned him into Jesus already?
Yeah, no, you didn't see that?
Oh, is Creed singing about him?
Yeah, no, I saw
that. We're Steve White up here under the apple light.
I saw a picture of this adorable hipster outside of a New York store and maybe the New York Times online just sitting next to the Steve shrine crying.
Oh,
like, really? Okay.
Well,
if you're going to express it like that, I guess that's okay.
Listen, I've seen people weep over
me. I just refreshed my browser until the story wasn't true anymore.
Oh, it's always going to be true,
no,
buddy. I know.
No.
It's always going to be true.
Refresh.
Oh, Control Z, Steve. Control Z.
Undo. Undo.
I know. I'm bummed. I'm bummed in a Steve Jobsless world. I mean, you know, listen. People die every day,
of course.
I don't know any of them though.
Yeah.
I didn't really know Steve either, but I certainly I just certainly appreciated
I don't know if we can talk about the 2 weeks in a row. We can talk.
I know.
It's kind of a big deal, though.
And especially on the Hodgman podcast, we talk about him. That was before he died. I know you weren't there. I know you had every opportunity to be there, but you weren't there.
I literally had every opportunity to be there. I got a phone call from Chris saying, are you going to be here? While I was driving home sick from work. Which made me hurt more. But yeah.
I found a... someone sent a I guess sort of a quement via Twitter, and it was for you.
Go.
And I want to pull it up. Well,
do they not have my personal Twitter? Email?
They do. You're tagged in it.
Oh, okay.
This is from at Hurtler.
Uh-huh.
Matt Myra, what personal effects would you pack in preparation for a space flight? What foods would you request?
I just saw that. Now, here's the question for him, but he can't answer it. Do I have to request like already on NASA's menu? Because I know what's good.
Let's stick to NASA's menu.
Okay.
Because obviously anything, then I might as well just ask you what your favorite foods are.
The shrimp scampi that NASA makes apparently is very good. I would take that. I would also take...
Is that freeze-dried?
Yeah. Sort of add water kind of thing. Everything's pretty much add water.
Right.
I would take that, definitely.
Or pee. Add pee.
They have ice cream sandwiches, which are very good. They're much better than the ice cream because they have the chocolate cookie freeze dried on top of that, and it's delicious.
Really?
Yeah. And then I guess I would go with the old standby of the Salisbury steak.
You can get Salisbury.
You can get Salisbury steak. If Apollo 13 taught us anything, it's always a good idea to bring hot dogs.
They have hot dogs?
Yeah, they have hot dogs. Remember they knocked the package up against the...
I just think it'd be funny if there was just like a floating hot dog vendor.
We had Ron Howard on Attack of the Show last week, and I just like midway through the interview remembered he directed Apollo 13. And then I got super excited.
And you didn't run out on camera and just start hugging him to death?
I did, but they cut.
Oh.
It's a 7-second delay.
Yeah, you can't if you drop an F-bomb.
I took my space dick out and I fucked him. No.
Wait, what? Is the space dick different from your Earth dick?
Works in 0G.
Just really?
Earth dick must, right?
Yeah, I would think.
People have had to have had sex in space.
Of course, that's one of the first things they would have done. They need to know if people can have sex in space because they need to know if we're going to be able...
No, but like seriously, like... But I mean, it would be awkward because it's all open quarters. This is an interesting
question. But still... Still.
I'm sure the Russians did it. I'm sure the Russians had to be like, we have to find out.
There must be almost so I need to see if I can fuck dog in space, you know?
We duck Soyuz, then we fuck.
Yeah. I'm sure people have fucked animals in space.
Sure.
People have been...
I'm not sure there must be some sort of weird
checklist of like, butt fingering, check. You know, like, there must be some... We need to know. If people are going to be sent to Mars, it's going to be a long trip. Can people have their butts fingered on the way to Mars?
It's funny, like, all the things that they didn't know. Like, when you read about early space flight and they were like, so many doctors were like, your organs need gravity to work. You wouldn't, you know, nothing would function. Your digestive system would not work because you need gravity.
Right, to pull everything down.
Turns out it all works.
It does work.
So we did it. Yay.
Yes, but we experienced bone density loss. So how do they get around the bone density loss?
Well, they're trying various things, you know, like, you know, exercises and stuff like that. You know, when they're strapped down to the treadmill and stuff like that.
Right.
I would not do that in space. I would exercise as little as possible. I don't worry. I'm not, you know, whatever. Bone density. Who needs that? You need that if you get back to Earth, right?
Well, you're going to need it if you get to Mars,
so
right?
So if you get to Earth, you're already happy. You don't mind losing bone density.
Now, okay. Technically, you are losing weight that way.
Oh, I like this diet.
You don't want to lose it in the bones.
I think that they should sponsor us and send us to space to do the first space podcast.
Do you think Sir Richard Branson will send us up in Galactica?
God damn, I hope
Virgin
so.
Virgin Galactica.
I hope so.
In Virgin Galactic.
Like, if he tells me you have to, like, oh, we need you to be this weight and this height, I will have my legs sawed and I will lose the weight.
You know your legs aren't going to grow back, right?
That's okay.
Your legs don't work like lizard tails. You cut them off, and then that's pretty much it.
Pretty sure
they do. Well, you're not.
Pretty sure they do. Doctor Who got his hand cut off. Hand grew back. So
he is Gallifreyan.
Different, but he looks like a human.
Well, we don't even know if the doctor
might.
My
heart does the work of two hearts.
The doctor might have 9 dicks. We don't know. He might have a butt dick.
That's an excellent. Well, he had a granddaughter, as you know, the first Doctor Who incarnation.
But they don't say
And then also,
presumably
children.
And then the 10th Doctor regenerated a daughter off of his hand. That sort of duplicating machine.
Yeah.
And then he had a daughter, which he, David Tennant, ended up marrying.
Hot.
Which ended up being Peter Davison's daughter.
Hot.
Right?
Why is that hot? That's hot, too, I guess. Fuck the Doctor's daughter. That's cool. She's hot. She's good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I say so, too.
It's his hair. Fuck. I'd do him.
Yeah, there's a lot of... Someone posted a video online of all the regenerations, one after the other.
Yeah.
And it's really funny to see how those have evolved.
Is it called the Regeneration Supercut? I'm sure it is.
Oh, it should be.
I'm sure it's called that.
Talking about my regeneration?
please make that, Internet. Thank you.
Where is Jonah?
Other things the Internet could make.
Where is...
An app to find Jonah.
Hey, wait, did you get in trouble with Greta last week for when she called in?
I'll tell you guys, because Greta and I had a huge fight the night before.
Okay.
And when I picked up the phone on the air, that was literally the first time I talked to her since our fight.
Really?
Yeah.
No wonder she was like, why would you do that?
Why would you do that? But then we went to Halloween Horror Nights.
And you had fun?
It was all right. It was all right. I don't understand the concept of waiting 70 minutes in line for a 6-minute walkthrough.
Well, did you go in the House of a Thousand Corpses thing?
We got up to the House of a Thousand Corpses just as the line was ending, or rather, just as they were shutting it down.
Okay.
Because of the fire department.
Because the fire department wanted to go on the ride, and so they're like, oh, guys, we're going to have to, smoke or something.
They're shutting
it
down.
There are fog machines everywhere. Yeah, no, we better check this out.
And, like, this guy...
Wasn't a backdraft, was there?
Oh, I wish there was.
Because you don't even know.
Also Ron Howard.
You don't even know.
Also Ron Howard.
You think it's fine, and then you got fucking backdrafted. You got fucking number one pick in the backdraft.
But this guy... Okay, so we're in the hostel haunted house walkthrough. And
you sure you didn't just go into a hostel?
Might have been. I can't.
Were there drunk Germans there?
Yeah, of course.
Were there Swedes?
Yep.
You were in a hostel.
Oh. Who's calling?
It's Alex Murray.
Oh. Alex.
I can't take the call right now,
nope,
Alex Murray.
He's not your girlfriend yet.
No. Oh, I can't get him to commit. Oh, why is he going to buy the cow when I'm giving the milk away for free?
But, it was funny because Greta, wasn't having it, being scared. She, just wasn't having it. So she kind of had, pouty face, not enjoying herself. But she was secretly enjoying herself. At least that's what I was telling myself. And we're going through, and this dude who is, so there's Hostel, the movie is just, it's torture. So there are these torture scenes you walk in upon. This guy's getting his legs cut open and,
And no one helped?
No one helped. He asked for help a lot.
That would be the most fucked up serial killer who put a real murder right there in front of everyone.
Most fucked up or most talented.
Right. Well, because the most horrifying thing about it is the person being cut up, the more they scream, the more people are going to be like, oh, this is so good. And they know that they're just inches away from being saved, but they're not being, but no one's going to save them.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
So the guy playing the torturer guy totally breaks character, leans into Greta and goes, come on, just smile.
First of all, I fucking hate that when people do that. I don't smile when I'm walking around in life. And so sometimes people say it. And I'm like, hey, you don't fucking know me. So
yeah. I smile naturally.
And so how did she take that?
She looked at him weird, and then we walked out, and then we all laughed about it. It was very funny.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. So that didn't start the fight.
That didn't start. No, the fight was the night before that.
Oh, it was the night before
About going to it.
Okay.
Because I wanted to.
And she didn't want to.
Correct.
But she ended up having fun.
She ended up enjoying herself. We went with Kevin Pereira and his girlfriend Meg and Jeremy Hache and his wife Emily.
Yep.
And
both who work on Attack of the Show.
And we met Brian. Torliga, who also works on the
show. Works on the second of the show.
Yeah. New wife. And we had a good time.
Emery, who I've worked with on other stuff before.
Yeah. So that was my experience there. It was good.
I was supposed to go Saturday night, and then I just...
Did you not have the energy?
I had some stuff run late, and then by the time I could go, it was almost 10 o'clock.
Oh.
And so I was like, oh, I don't want to go to Universal at 10, get there at 10:30, not get into the park till 11. I mean, they're open till 2.
You could have parked for free, though, with your
using the Universal. Did you use that?
Yes.
And it worked.
Oh, fantastic.
Where'd you park?
Behind Frankenstein.
You park
in the Frankenstein lot. That's where you go. That's the employee parking.
It is. Yeah. Okay.
And you just show them your badge, and they go, okay.
Which gate?
It's behind. You got to go down Buddy Holly Drive.
Oh, no. Why would I do that? That's a death wish.
Not Buddy Holly Fly.
Oh, good.
Buddy Holly Drive.
Buddy Holly Drive. All right. No, he was fine with cars.
Yeah, no.
Planes, not so much.
Yeah.
When I heard myself say, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? I tend to think, I mean, that's a disrespectful way to refer to a woman who will fuck you.
Is it? Wait.
Yes. I am positive that it is. I am positive. The other one that I think is horrible is when they're just like a couple and they haven't gotten married yet and someone says, listen, you need to shit or get off the pot.
Yes.
So does that mean like when you marry someone, do you just go, okay, I guess we're shitting now? Like, that's so fucking horrible.
Well, it's horrible, but it's real. It comes from a real place.
Oh, no. Do you want to text Jonah and see if he's on his way, or
yeah,
should
I'll
I text him?
I can text Jonah.
Should I shoot him a text? Did he do?
I got a text from not Jonah. Kumail Nanjiani texted me.
Kumail Nanjiani, host of the Indoor Kids, and Emily Gordon.
I did an episode of Indoor Kids.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Those guys are the best.
Yeah, we just ended up like talking about Kumail and I ended up talking about what we used to jerk off to, like meaning Cinemax, old Cinemax shows.
Yeah,
somehow went there.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, does Krista Hallam...
Somehow went there. What games are you playing? I like to jerk off to Cinemax. Let's go!
Yep. That's a game, right?
Yep. I'm up for a Red Shoe Diary as much as the next person.
That was Showtime. I didn't have Showtime.
Oh.
Jonah Ray.
Sort of creepy fucking molester was David Duchovny's character in that, where he just gets letters from people at a P.O. box and then goes and sits at a diner and... thinks about people fucking while a saxophone plays.
Was the premise that he was a writer, correct?
Is that what it was?
I don't remember.
So that means Californication is really just a modern day comedy version of Red Shoe Diaries,
no,
where he's a writer.
Is he not playing the same character?
But he's fucking everyone.
He's playing the same character.
Hey, I have a feeling that Red Shoe Diaries was the prequel to Californication. That was him as a writer in his younger days. Then he wrote all these books.
Hang on, Jonah Ray.
Yeah? Put him on speaker.
All right, hang on. Bum, 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 bum. Wait, I don't know if this is working, Joe. Hang on, Jonah, you're on the podcast.
I thought the calendar said 6:30.
Yeah, but I sent you an email yesterday that said we were going to do one at 5:30 too, and you said okay.
Everything got crazy at work. I'll be right there.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Matt and I are just talking about stuff.
So,
it's okay.
Finish up what you got to finish up, or whatever. We'll be here.
Yeah,
we're here.
You're not going to get in trouble until I turn these mics off.
Yeah.
As long as these mics stay on, everything's fine.
As long as the mics stay on, Chris can't yell at me.
Everything's fine, guys. Everything's fucking
fine.
Don't turn it off. You ungrateful twats.
I have 72 minutes of happiness.
Let's get Nick on the mic over there. Hey, Nick. What's going on over there? What's happening over in...
What's happening, guys?
Seacrest World, which is like SeaWorld, but the Kardashians jump out of a tank and take a fish with their nose.
That's quite an image.
Yeah. First of all, it's not even a dolphin.
What?
A dolphin.
Or a whale. That's not even... What takes a fish with its nose?
A Kardashian.
Marlin. Okay.
So how's it going over
there?
How
are you doing?
Good. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing well.
Good.
You know? Is that it for Doctor Who for a while?
Yeah, till next year.
Christmas.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, there's a Christmas special. There'll be a Christmas special. Which I think they're shooting now, and then and then next year.
By the way, big props on your TV show.
Thanks, man.
That was big time. You know, my son, Big Nick, down there at the house, loved it and made up his own lyrics to your closing theme.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, this is what we learned today, son?
Yeah,
that is awesome.
We should tell them what we learned about Ewoks, because that was in the song, but never in the pilot.
I think I've talked about it on the podcast before. Ewoks make bad pets.
Yeah.
Because they suffer a lot of the same congenital birth defects that Shih Tzus do, like upper respiratory problems and poor circulation and shit sticking to their fur.
And then I said...
Because they're these bipedal hairy creatures.
Yeah, but they're also... They would make bad pets because they're sentient beings with a society.
Well, there's that too. I mean, they're barely sentient.
Space for Ham Lincoln would not like that.
Space for Ham.
So, have you quit No. Smoking.
No, I haven't.
Oh, that's a sore subject. I shouldn't have brought that up, right?
Still, well, still smoking. Still smoking there.
Still smoking. Unfortunately,
the Kamchatkas or whatever those were.
Jarums.
Jarum
Valley High.
Oh, the Indian cigarettes.
I think it's Filipino.
Oh, Indonesian.
Okay. Indonesian.
Indonesian. They used to sell these things.
What?
Wow.
How is it that every time we bring something up, you have an amazingly detailed story about it? You're amazing.
Well, I worked at the, if you go back long before you guys were probably born, in 1980, I was a general manager of the Tinderbox, which at the time...
I remember the Tinderbox.
Remember the Tinderbox?
On Wilshire?
Well, it had a chain. It was a, in all the malls. In those days, you could smoke in all the major malls. And I worked at the Glendale Galleria, and we had the Tinderbox.
And you also had that organ store. Everyone had like an organ.
There was the organ store. Oh my God. Yeah, the one upstairs.
Those were organs to like the need for lungs.
Yeah.
The need for lungs. And there was the warehouse record store up there.
Where? The warehouse. Hey, Jonah Ray.
Hey, how's it going?
It's okay. How are you?
I'm all right.
So, I'm sorry there was a miscommunication.
No, you know, there was.
No, there was communication.
There was communication. It's just, you know, I'm still getting used to the way things, the scheduling.
The soup schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Just like, you know, yeah. It's like, oh, now all this stuff is due. Oh, okay. No one told me.
Yeah.
And then it's just working on it, then realizing.
That's all right.
Yeah. But I'm here now.
I got this for you.
I saw that. Don't throw a book.
Don't throw a book.
Catch it with your teeth.
Have you guys been recording for 35 minutes?
Yeah, about 25.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. Now, how long were you going to wait to text me?
Well, I honestly, God, thought you just knew.
Yeah, we thought you knew, and so then we after 20 minutes, I think we were just yapping.
We started thinking we'll do 2 minutes,
and we just started yapping about crap the way we do, and then I was like, oh, maybe text him and see where he is, see if Jonah's still alive.
Almost literally right above this office, this studio.
Yeah. Right,
I'm like right above it.
It's a honeycomb of entertainment here at the EG4 building.
Yeah, cut a hole.
I should just have a pole that comes straight down into here.
Awesome.
We got one.
We got spiral staircase.
Hey, I'm gonna try the pole. We should stay here tonight. You know, sleep here.
Is this pole still work?
To try it out. Does this pole still work?
So we're gonna have some dramatic readings.
Look at this. Yes, this is a real book.
It is a real book. Nick, what's going on over there in the world today? What are you pulling down from the Matrix?
Actually, I got tired of looking at the news once again, and so I'm looking at reruns of football games.
Does it ever change? It's always the same, right? Those guys try to take that thing to those other guys.
Guys, I watched the 88, Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Different outcome. It was crazy.
I don't know how that.
I thought they
had money on that game, too.
No,
it was like Clue. They sent different endings to every house.
Yeah. Oh, so Colonel Mustard won the Super Bowl in 88?
Yep.
With the candlestick.
Yeah. Michael McKean did something.
Good. Good. He beat Tim Curry, right?
Right.
Right. The Michael McKean, Tim Curry, the Clue Super Bowl.
Let's get Michael McKean on.
I would love to. I'd love to get Tim Curry on, too.
Michael McKean, come on our show.
I can only do so much to get people on.
I'm mentioning on Twitter, and then people hopefully will tweet at MJ McKean and go for it.
I think I lost any chance we ever might have had of getting Albert Brooks on, which, by the way, was like almost zero.
What happened?
To begin with. Okay.
Chris keeps tweeting
at
Albert
Brooks. You have to get Albert Brooks on.
I know, but I can't. Listen, he's tweeted back at me.
Which Chris thinks, oh, he knows who I am. He's tweeting back at me. When in reality, Albert Brooks just tweets at people.
You know what, though? You know why I know who he knows who I am? Because one of the last times I tweeted at him, he referenced the BBC show. So I'm pretty sure he doesn't reference everyone's jobs that he tweets at.
No, he does. I've seen him.
Oh, okay. Well, he's that good.
You did a really good job at the Tinderbox, Nick.
Holy shit!
He was there.
I love buying jarums from you.
My first LP that I actually bought was actually
Comedy Minus One?
No, A Star Is Bought.
Oh,
which was 1976.
Wow. Oh, he's the best.
And I still have it. If he ever comes in, I got to have him.
So here's what happened. I started using the word complicit to describe the way that exactly the way the internet works, where people, you know, have to say, it's like they kick hug you, they kick fuck you, you know, like they'll say something nice after they've said something shitty, like that balances it out. And so I did Marin's podcast, and I said something about complicit, and he said, did you just think of that? And I go, I think I did. And so I don't know. Whatever. Cut to a couple days ago, some guy on Twitter goes, I think it was at Sam Vance. Sam, if you're listening, then you get a little shout out. Says, hey, Albert Brooks, Chris says he thought of the word complicit or something. And Albert Brooks tweeted back to both of us, "No, I wrote it. I wrote that word for the Muse in 1999. And then I went, "Oh my God," because I haven't seen the Muse in like 10 years.
So that was your Muse.
Oh my God. Yeah. So meta wise, that was my Muse. That was my meta Muse. Soul.
Man.
Helped me poop. And so I instantly went, "Oh my God, that's right. That was in that movie." And I just, sometimes when you've been doing comedy for a really long time, you forget. Sometimes things stick in your head and you think you thought of something, yeah. But it's just because it was something stuck in your head. So clearly, obviously I did see it, but this put me in a position of no matter what I say, it looks like I'm being shifty because yeah. I went on Maron's show and then I wrote back and I'm like, "Oh my God, yes, of course. This, you know, of course that was in that movie. I loved that movie." And then I said to Albert Brooks, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I had that thought, but clearly it was that word was stuck in the back of my head. So I apologize."
Yeah.
Then he didn't respond.
Oh.
So I look like a thieving piece of shit.
I would have freaked out and said, "Oh no, I have no idea about that because I've never seen the Muse."
Yeah.
How would you spell that on Twitter?
What? Oh, H-R-R-N-G-H.
I'll take it.
N-Y-G-A-R-R-R-H. Ingara.
Ingara.
You just make that up?
I did just make that up.
No, sorry. That was in real life.
Oh, shit. That's right. Great movie.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Fucking great movie. Those helmet cams.
Yeah.
Remember real life?
In real life.
I mean, how just way pegged. So way far ahead of its time. Decades ahead of its time. Making fun of reality television.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
Decades. Love that guy.
Here's that movie right now. I think it's on HBO. It's the original movie with Tim Robbins and James Gandolfini, and it's about the Louds, like that PBS.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I saw that.
That's Cinema Verite.
Yeah, that's what
I saw that. Diane Lane.
Yeah, that's what he was making fun of, right? Yeah,
Diane Lane. I mean, everyone in that is good, but Diane Lane is off the fucking charts.
If you remember, I think Albert Brooks tweeted something to the effect of, "I like this better when it was my movie."
Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's funny. Yeah,
something like that.
That's funny.
So he spends his time doing that.
Who knows what he spends his time
We're trying to get him on.
Being hilarious.
No, he's great in Drive.
I didn't see that. I still have to see that.
I thought you liked movies.
Or Defending Your Life.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Defending Your Life is one of the best movies of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many. Lost in America.
This will get him on. This will get him on.
You think so?
Yeah. You know who his father was?
Well, their last name is Einstein.
Yeah, his father was a great radio comedian with Eddie Cantor back in the 30s and 40s.
Really?
He played a character by the name of Park Your Carcass.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's him and Super Dave. Well,
Super Dave Osborne.
That's right.
Brother,
Einstein.
I'd say there's a slim chance that Albert Brooks will ever come on this podcast, but you never know.
Never know.
But I feel like I know. Probably not going to happen. Yeah. I would love it if it happened. Albert Brooks, you can ask him on Twitter at Albert Brooks. Maybe he'll. Although I don't feel like he's the kind of guy that being hounded by people is really going to sway him in our direction.
Do that.
So maybe let's not do that.
And when did he reference the show?
What?
In the tweet, when did he reference the show?
It was months ago. It was right after the BBC deal was announced.
Oh, I see.
It was months ago.
So we don't know if he saw it.
Maybe
he saw it, and that's why he's not talking to you.
Please, Albert Brooks, I'm sorry for whatever. You don't really care.
So, Jonah, you went to Halloween Horror Night on Sunday. That was me. I did that.
I went on Sunday. It was great. The Thing maze is awesome. It's probably the best maze they've ever had there. The second one was the Mexican horror movie one, the Luna or Yun. I can't remember, but it's really fucking good.
Those are like the two I didn't go.
Those are the two. Like I think this is my third year in a row, and those two are like far beyond anything they've ever done at that place.
Yeah. Did you see the House of a Thousand Corpses maze?
I've seen it before. I didn't go again. I heard it's the same as last year.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't been in quite a few years.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. But they make, you know, that you put on, you know, the 3D glasses, and it's a lot to take in. But it's even Deanna, she's like, "Oh, it's like the as far as the art and everything goes, it's the most gorgeous one."
I had dinner with Rob and Sherry last night, and he was telling me that like they use their actual set pieces from the movie that they use in the maze.
Wait, did you go on Friday?
I was supposed to go Saturday, and then I ended up not being able to go.
Oh.
And but I guess there's a dude playing me getting his head shaved off by Sherry, and then on the Dr. Satan table.
Yeah. No, it's a good one. They're all, you know, they're getting better.
I should just tell people that's how I lost all the weight. Like, "Oh well, this Dr. Satan like has a great," cut it all out of me.
Yeah, exactly.
Just cut it all out.
But the Thing maze actually made me excited for the Thing movie. Prequel.
Is that where you find? Is that where you follow the little disembodied hand around, and then it like snaps and like runs in a bar?
Oh, sorry. I was like, that didn't happen in John Carpenter's The Thing. Was that from the 50s one? I haven't seen.
They're not calling it John Carpenter's The Thing prequel, are they?
No, but they should call it like The Thing Norwegian Camp, because that's it's still the story of it still lives in the world that was set up by John Carpenter's The Thing.
Right.
It basically happens the week before the events of John Carpenter's The Thing, mm-hmm. and one of the guys on the soup saw it last night, so it was
hope
great.
It ends with the dog.
It does.
Awesome.
Yeah, it ends with them getting into a helicopter and chasing down the dog. Matt Bronger brought up a very funny idea. He said, if you speak Norwegian, the beginning of the movie is kind of spoiled for you right away.
Oh.
Because you just got a guy going, no, wait, the dog's an alien. Stop.
Credits.
Yeah.
I kind of like the Avengers trailer, too. I was pretty happy.
I look forward to it. It looks kind of like, I mean, it looks good, but I mean, how can you really... It looks very paint by numbers. Here, do they have this character do this, this character do this.
Well, they're following...
Yeah, no, I know.
I mean, I think they're... I don't want to get yelled at for this. I'm pretty sure they're following the Ultimates storyline, the Marvel Ultimates.
But nonetheless, it hits all the beats.
Which is fun. You know, I'm curious to see if they, because the Ultimates, I love the way that Bruce Banner, that was the TV show. I love the way Bruce Banner is portrayed. It, like, he's a real wiener in the Ultimates, and Hulk is just a big, horny, like, murderous piece of shit. And I really, it's so different than the way that he's been portrayed cinematically before, where it's like, oh, Banner's this really deep character and he's got a soul, and the Hulk has that Banner soul underneath. Like, it's totally not the way he's portrayed in Ultimates. Yeah.
Who's playing? I didn't see the trailer yet, but who's playing the Hulk?
Or Ruffalo, Mark Ruffalo.
Okay, so he'll be the third person within 5 years to play.
Playing the same character.
Yeah.
But they got the same CG artist to do it. So
same guy from Green Arrow.
It's continuous.
Green Lantern. Sorry.
I'm looking forward to it. We're doing New York Comic Con this weekend.
Yes, we are.
You and I are running around and doing a bunch of stuff for MTV Geek, which is fun to me to be working for MTV again after.
Oh yeah,
all these years. But now we're on my turf, the internet.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I know I'm going to be pretty. I'm going to be pretty tired.
You're flying in Friday morning, and then you're like, you go right to the floor.
Running around.
And then we do our two shows at the Gramercy, which are sold out, by the way. I didn't know if you guys know, but that's good
news
for us.
That's great. Cool. And then, and then the next day, more stuff on the floor.
Yeah.
And then I have a show at midnight at UCB.
Sweet!
Yeah.
What show are you doing?
It's these kids. I can't remember the name right now, but it's these kids putting on like a Comic-Con show. Are you going to be around?
No, I'm heading back Saturday night because Talking Dead starts Sunday.
That's right.
But I'm moderating four panels at Comic-Con. One is a panel with Felicia Day, I think at 12:15 on Friday. And then I'm moderating the Legendary panel at 2 or 2:30 on Saturday. And then Walking Dead at 6:15, I think. No, 5:15. And then at 6:30, the Avengers panel. So those are the four.
That's where I'll be. 6:30.
Yeah, and then I leave. I have to leave right from the Avengers panel. I'll be whisked to a commercial jetliner where I'll fly back to Los Angeles to prepare for the Talking Dead.
As excited as I am for Friday and all the things we're going to get to do, I am dreading it more than anything because I have a middle seat on the way out there. Red eye, middle seat into New York, and I'm big.
Yeah.
And it's not comfortable.
It's going to be terrible.
No.
Yeah, it's not going to be any good.
I have a middle seat on the way back, but it's like a 5 o'clock flight, so it should be crazy terrible.
Yeah.
So what you're about to do, Jonah, is I'm very familiar with this kind of like, fly in, get to a thing, then do a show, then do two shows.
Yeah, I know.
Don't think about it.
Don't
think about it. Just don't even think about it until you have to do it.
Yeah.
He's already
just
thinking
do
about it.
No, I know. I mean, you know, the thing that's making me like think I can deal with it and power through it is that I won't even have time to drink, so that's not going to be weighing me down.
Yeah, we'll get you some beers on the show.
Beer that
Jonah died.
That's it. That's all it takes. do we have any guests?
Yeah, we do have guests. Should I announce them or should I not announce them?
Well, this will probably drop the day that
the day of.
We'll just make everyone that didn't already get their tickets jealous.
Well, should I just say who it is?
Yeah, sure.
Tom Lennon's going to be on the early show.
Woo!
Jim Gaffigan's on the late show.
Woo!
Wow. When did Tom decide to be on the early show? Because I just talked to him.
Today.
But, like, I talked to him not long ago, and he said...
Well, let's figure this out.
I'm just saying. Can we figure this out?
Let's figure this out. Let's point out that right Matt now? Just talked to Tom Lennon earlier today.
And then, hang on a sec. I'm going to guess, and I'm only saying this because I was a party who was involved in this transaction, that it happened sometime between when you talked to Tom and when I talked to Tom this evening. I waited until the last minute to book guests because I didn't want the ticket sales to hinge on the guest.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these shows that we're going to be doing around the country, we're not going to be able to have guests everywhere. And so, you know, I don't want people to, I mean, a guest is a nice bonus for us, but it just, if we paid to fly out a guest to every location, we would literally lose thousands of dollars.
Yeah. So, hey, do you know who's going to be in Portland while we're there?
No.
Henry Rollins.
No shit.
He's going to be doing a spoken word show.
At the same night?
I don't know if it's the same night. It might be the night before or something like that. But someone said
I don't
that
know Henry
around.
Rollins. Otherwise, I would ask him to be a guest.
Well, we could also. Steve Malcolmus lives in Portland.
You want to? Lots of people live in Portland.
Isaac Brock.
The dream is alive in Portland. Portland. Portland.
It's going to be a good show.
What are you up to this weekend, Nick? What do you got going on? You going to a con of any sort?
This weekend? No, actually, I'm not. What am I doing this weekend? I usually just hang out and find some nice craft beer and relax and, you know, and enjoy the family.
Now, I notice you're growing out the mustache, which I like. Are you going to grow, like, the curly Q ends?
I just might. I'm going to wax it, maybe, put a little wax on it. And
that's
just see if
awesome.
I can. Actually,
it's already starting to happen.
What a hipster.
What a hipster.
Finally.
Look at this guy in his plaid button-up shirt and mustache and framed glasses.
All I need is a pipe. You know? No, as actually, the thing that you'll see as you guys get older, the beard just gets gray first and the mustache. So I think I should color it.
Not me.
Nah. I always thought that looked cool.
On the head?
A two-tone.
Yeah. I don't know. You like it like the two-tone?
I love a two-tone.
Oh, a little salt and pepper. Oh,
Tommy two-tone's great.
A silver fox.
Tommy two-tone. Yeah. Silver fox.
Silver fox.
I don't know.
He is
the Silver Fox.
So is Chris Gore, the Silver Fox.
Yeah, Chris is a nice guy and all, but Ralph Lauren. So,
Silver
okay,
Koala
Ralph Lauren.
Bear.
Right.
So I talked to the guys last week about this, and it was before you came in, and I was asking, what is the definition of a Nerdist?
To me, it's
chapter one.
What, you can't look at the book.
It's Nick, the answer is all in the book. That's a good question. So when I started the Nerdist website, I kind of had this idea that, and this was, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago, and I don't think my idea was revolutionary by any means. It was just when I noticed it. When I decided that there were ways that I could actually work in the entertainment business in nerdy things that I was into.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that was saying a strong statement about where nerds had come from, and that that pop culture was that nerd culture was a very large part of pop culture now.
Right.
I mean, nerd culture isn't all pop culture because there's the whole, you know, Kardashians element and, you know, eating fish with their noses or whatever they do, catching fish in tanks. Or I don't know. I've never. Maybe they do. I don't know. Maybe they do catch fish in tanks. I don't know
possible.
What they do. I don't know what they do. Maybe that's what makes them interesting. I still haven't figured out what it is that they do.
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah. But you can't.
No. You can't.
You can't.
There is a way to help you, though.
I think that show should be called Try and Keep Up with the Kardashians.
Right. No way.
Try and keep up with whatever the fuck it is that they do, that and why is it interesting. I don't know. But anyway, it's not for me. And so that's, you know, that so much nerd culture has become pop culture. And then I realized that the idea, I mean, when I was growing up, it was like, you know, nerdy was a thing that you were ascribed and you didn't really have a choice, and it wasn't a cool, there was no cool ironic factor behind it, there were
right.
no hipsters, there was
right.
no, it wasn't cool to be a nerd yet,
right.
it was just shitty,
right.
it just sucked when I was growing up, like
right.
it being in chess club, you just didn't make eye contact with people and people pushed you down, and
right.
you know, going to computer lab and like
right.
all that shit, it was not cool, you know.
Or a button-down
debate
sweater.
Club, Latin
sure,
club.
Sure
it was not
still,
cool.
I'm sure that still happens.
I'm sure it does. It's
yeah.
not as. I feel like at least now there's more. There are more elements to it that are acceptable than when I was growing up, which in the 80s when it was just not. It was just like shut the fuck up, nerd. You know. And so I guess I realized like there are so many things about the way that the nerd brain works, in my opinion, that make them very powerful, just in terms of their kind of almost unlimited focusing abilities.
Right.
And so I sort of felt like, you know, this idea of nerdism is this kind of ideology that I think anyone can sort of subscribe to now. And so I think that's where Nerdist came from. So I think Urban Dictionary defined it as an artful nerd. Like it's like a creative nerd. So I like that. I like that definition of it. So that was a really long-winded answer.
They defined it after you didn't. That you who did you coin the Nerdist term?
There already had been. You know what's funny is there what Albert Brooks did it. there was already when I thought of the name, I went to register the domain, and one guy had Nerdist.net. That's how nerdy he was. He just registered the .net.
Mm-hmm.
The dot every all the other dots were available.
.tv.
.tv. I own that.
Tavula, the islands of Tavula. Oh,
yep.
It's their main source of income, you know.
You're shitting me.
That's right.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yes. That's where all the .ly is Libya.
Yeah. There used to be one. The first one that I remember was .cc, and I'm going, what is .cc? It was the Cayman Islands.
Yeah. Nathan Barley, .co.ck.
.co.ck. Trashbat.cock. Registered in the Cook Islands. Keeps it foolish.
So, which point were we hovering? Oh, so Nerdist. It was a thing that someone, like that guy, and his site was really nerdy. I mean, like it looked, the design of it was very, very.
It was in binary.
Oh, it almost was. Like he wrote about chess tournaments and things like that.
Right.
And, but he didn't have the .com, and so I registered the .com and then started, getting that name across all the. He clearly didn't want it to be much more than that, and I was so mad when I, because it was one of those things. It's like coming up with an email address or a license plate where you're like, no one's gonna have this, and all of a sudden you see like, what? Other people thought of that before I did. I mean, you know, there are very few ideas that are super original anymore. It's just
you'd have to pick a screen name and
For me, I think it's just more like, what are you going to do with it once you have it?
Right.
And so that's what I did.
Well, we had the discussion last week, and we were talking about see, I would do a lot of nerdy things, and I've been a lot of nerdy things, and I still am. Like, I'm still a ham radio operator.
Yeah, as you should be.
And as I should be.
Is that a one-way radio? Is that just follow John Ham around?
No, you know ham radio.
He's shooting Mad Men today.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys,
he's
on 30 Rock now.
Breaker, breaker.
Yeah. I love this ham radio.
There's a sketch in there somewhere. Not a good one.
No,
not a good one.
Would write it. It'd be very punny.
John Ham's John Ham.
John Ham's John Ham. Yeah.
Right.
And then don't forget.
Or just a ham.
What's it, a Sarsgaard?
Oh, Peter Sarsgaard. Sarsgaard. That was so fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, growing up, I never really thought about myself as a nerd. I just didn't think about it. I didn't really, you know, I knew the things I was into, but I didn't, you know, ever, like, consider myself. Like, because, like, to me, like, oh, like, you know, Urkel. Because I knew kids that were nerdier than me.
Yeah.
They were smarter than me.
I didn't know. I mean, I didn't think in terms of the word nerd until I saw the movie Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah,
I'm a nerd.
And so identified with the Trilams that I was like, okay, I guess that's what I am. You know, with all the chess club and the Latin club and the D&D stuff.
I didn't know I was a nerd, but I was in the weather club in high school. That should have been a.
That was a huge red weather flag.
I started a bowling club and then bailed on it. I started it, got it all official in the school, went to the first one, didn't like any of the kids that signed up. And
this
then
sucks.
And I just bailed. I was like, I don't want to fucking do anything about
this. I got the Lowell Catholic golf team off the ground.
Good for you.
Yeah. There you go. Hmm.
Kind of exclusionary, huh?
What do you mean?
Just for Catholics?
Yeah. Well, no.
Well, no, they have a fierce tournament against the golfing Protestants.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Yeah, and then Bono presents them a trophy at the end.
Our mascot is the Crusader.
Don't we all believe in one God? He says.
I just want to make the newsletter, you guys. The Lowell Catholic Crusader newsletter. That's a thing. I want to make it.
All right. No one. No, literally, no one's stopping you.
Well, I can't. No, I mean, I
have been for quite some time.
I
want to
be in it. It's a thing that exists. I just want
every time
to
he goes to type on his keyboard, you just bat his hand away.
Stop it.
Nope. You're done with it.
It's like I'm tired of seeing people that got their nursing degrees. I want to be in it for something cool.
All right. Well, go make that thing.
No, I can't.
Why?
Because I've already done enough. I feel like I should be in it. I should have been mentioned at least once. Like, hey, Matt Myra, 2001 has a TV show.
Well, you don't really.
It should have been a thing.
It's not really, you know, it's not. It was a, you were on a show that aired.
I had a show that aired. And now I work on a TV show.
Now we're waiting to see.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'll make a call for you if it's that important for you to make it in the Catholic newsletter.
The Lowell Catholic Crusader newsletter.
So I was hoping to be kind of like a famous guy from Hawaii, but then there that singer. The singer guy.
Michael Bublé.
No, yeah, fuck, I just forgot his name.
Mark Cohn?
Jack Johnson. It was Jack Johnson.
No, well, there's Jack Johnson, and then there's another guy. Brother Israel Kamakavika Olin?
Yeah.
No, not him.
Okay.
The guy, he's a current like pop singer. He had that song, Grenade.
Oh, Bruno Mars?
Bruno Mars.
Yeah. I'm 51, and I know this one.
Well, you
work for Seacrest. You have to know that.
That's the real thing.
Yeah. You know, it's
my
funny.
My son wouldn't know that.
Four years I'm in this building, and I never see Seacrest. And then, like, the last couple weeks, I feel like every time I turn a corner, he's right there.
He's right there.
Is there some sort of multiplicity storyline where he's had himself cloned?
And myself cloned. They didn't tell you, buddy.
Oh shit!
Oh, sorry.
I blew that shit wide open.
Man. I got the dumb one, the effeminate one, the one that really likes sports.
I keep wanting to ask him how he does everything he does,
and he does. He does.
Never clone a clone.
Copy of a copy, you know.
Yeah. What was the thing that Boyd would always do? Where he would always like have Seacrest quoting Hightower from Police Academy.
Are you directing the lights going out?
No, the guest that we're recording for an upcoming podcast is Jenny Wade, and I'm seeing her right through the glass right there. There she is.
For you?
She's right there. Woo! I'm going to go wild.
I can't wait for people to hear this part.
All right. So Jenny's out there waiting. We're gonna go get her and wrap up the Hostful podcast because now we're almost at 50 minutes, and that's more than enough Hostful bullshit. But I'm very glad that Nick, you once again sat in on a Hostful podcast. It's always fun to have you on.
Well, thank you. You know, I didn't really contribute much. I just was kind of, I'm in a mellow mood.
You really are the
dude. I just like having you here.
Well, thank you, buddy.
Just nice. Just nice.
This is nice.
I think if you wanted to get into your high school newsletter, Chris wouldn't shit on you, but I mean, whatever.
No, we'll get you in your fucking Catholic newsletter.
I want to get into my high school.
Yeah. Who cares about their high school newsletter?
Okay, I'm going to get you in the high school newsletter, but I'm going to make them write Matt Myra bitched his way into this Catholic, into the Catholic,
well, Catholic
shopper.
Crusader.
Catholic Crusader.
Newsletter.
Newsletter.
That's I don't mean to shit on your dreams, but that's a dumb aspiration.
Right?
Yeah. That's not even nerdy.
No.
I usually only have two people shitting on me.
I know, that's why I like having Nick.
Nice
around.
To have you on.
Because this one is, you know what though, guys.
Really nice to
you know
have
what though.
On.
Can I just take a little bit of pressure off of Eminem here? That I understand that it's important to, like, those are the things when you grow up that you kind of want to feel significant, because those are the things that they were significant in your life when you grew up.
Yeah.
So I totally understand why you would want to be in the Catholic shopper.
Yeah, but then there's a thing that happens when you get older and you realize all that stuff you cared about a lot and just really didn't mean anything at all.
Listen, I am a notable resident of Lowell, Massachusetts, along with Jack Kerouac on Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I felt like that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll get you in the Catholic Crusader somehow.
Yeah.
All right.
On the next episode.
And then
part is, if it happened, I would never know.
No, we'll find out. We'll find out.
Address.
We'll find out. And then you can be dissatisfied about something else.
Wow. That what? Just got a little real, Chris.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
That was good.
Thanks.
Was good.
Fuck you. Fuck you. You can still okay.
I love
You're
you,
okay.
buddy.
Okay,
I love you. You hug him a little panda. I love you. All right. Well, have a great weekend, you guys. And
thanks,
Nick, good to see you.
And
enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Carbonite Online Backup. Easy, automatic, unlimited backup for your computer files. Try it free for 15 days at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Nerdist.